Radio.
Thomas Waugh is the director of the Catholic Adult Education Centre in Sydney. We caught up with him to find out how he became Catholic.
So I've been fortunate enough to have been sent to a prestigious Protestant school, and that was very much thanks to the hard work and sacrifice of my parents. But it was at university when I was confronted with quite a few beliefs. I went to university and after school, and I was confronted with quite a few beliefs that varied from the Christianity that I'd been taught at school. And those beliefs were things such as atheism, communism, animism, the worship of trees and spirit trees and that type of thing, paganism, Hinduism and Buddhism. And so amidst all these beliefs, for the first time, I was really asked to consider seriously the claims of Jesus Christ to be God in the flesh. And that question was raised by an evangelical group of Christian students, of which I eventually became a member because many of my school friends had become members as well. And this group of students was absolutely amazing, and I was quite attracted to them. Unlike many students around me at university, they manifested a joy and a peace and a love and a sense of hope. And of course, later on, I was to realize that all these manifestations were really fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so this was very attractive and powerful to me as I was at university, because university was a daunting place. There were many new experiences, and you were asked to open your mind and to look at all these things. And so this particular group that I joined, this group of evangelical students, had many activities which were designed to lead people to Jesus Christ and to build Christians up in the faith. And they included things like Bible studies, weekly public forums, annual conferences, which often last 5 days, where particular topics will be addressed, such as the Holy Spirit, justification, the people of God, etc. Although I considered what it would have been like to have been an atheist, I'd never been comfortable with the idea that the world was completely and utterly meaningless. And I think this is the logical conclusion of atheism. And yet at the same time, I'd not really made an explicit profession of faith in Jesus Christ at this point. And I recall that I was at one of these annual conferences put on by this Christian group that I attended. And at that point, I was directly confronted with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the fact that he had accomplished all this in order that I might be forgiven for the many sins I committed and reconciled to God. And that message had a real power for me. And of course, that message was the gospel, the good news. And so the Christian faith for me explained both the greatness of the world we lived in, the truth, goodness, and beauty in which we lived, but also the many horrors in the world. The fact that man was at odds with his environment, other people, and by no means the least himself. And the Christian faith claimed to explain all this through the fall, the doctrine of the fall, and the doctrine of redemption through Jesus Christ. And at this particular conference, I acquired C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, which helped me to realize that Christianity was intellectually credible. It made sense of the world, more so than any other worldview. And so at that point, either during or after the conference, I can't quite remember, I made a conscious commitment to follow Jesus and to be his disciple. The group of which I was a part was also strongly missionary-oriented. Jesus Christ was for all peoples, and as Christians, we understood the need to bear witness to and share our faith with others. And of course, that didn't make us particularly popular at university, but everybody else seemed to have no problem sharing their views, so why not us, I thought. At this time, I also became a member of a Protestant church, and it was absolutely fantastic. It was a wonderful experience, and I'll always have fantastic memories of that time. And this would have been in my late teens, early 20s. And at this church, people were genuinely concerned about your walk with Jesus. They would pray with you and for you. And we used to study the Bible together. And the church ran Bible studies, talks, outreach events, such as beach missions to the unevangelized in the area. And our Sunday services would consist of 30 to 40 minute sermons where a particular passage of scripture was expounded in great detail. And we were urged to live the Christian life. So there was a heavy emphasis placed upon the Word of God, the written Word of God, and that would show itself in the lengthy sermons that we would be given. And it was fantastic. We learned a lot during that time. So at this time, I was a Christian, and I was beginning to know the Christian faith more. I read about the great reformers such as Calvin, Luther, Zwingli, and Henry VIII. And I also learnt about the five great solas of the Reformation. That is Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone, all to the glory of God alone. And I read many books written by evangelical intellectuals, such as Francis Schaeffer, the great philosopher who founded the Le Brie community in Switzerland. And of course, I read C.S. Lewis, James W. Sire's The Universe Next Door. I read books by John Stott, J.I. Packer, D.A. Carson, all brilliant men who wrote about scripture and analysed the culture that which we lived in from a Christian point of view. I think what I remember most about my time as a Protestant Christian was the wonderful fellowship amongst the Christians of my parish. And we did everything together. We went to cafes, we went to movies, we went to parties and nightclubs, whilst always welcoming people who were inquiring into Christianity. So there's a real sense in which we lived the Christian life daily, we engaged in fellowship with one another, and we built each other up in the faith. And at the same time, we were always outward looking, and people would often invite their non-Christian friends to these events, and they get to know Christians, what they were like, and really develop a rapport with them. They realized after a while that Christians, you know, weren't people with two heads or weren't freaks, but they realized that there was something different about these people. And so at this time, of course, I was also lucky enough to go on conferences, including conferences run by Christian missionaries, where missionaries from around the world would gather in New South Wales to pray for each other and tell of their success in spreading the gospel. And all these events were immensely edifying. And so I suppose the picture of that I want to paint of my Protestant time was really a positive experience. It was one of great fellowship, and these people really lived out their faith in a dynamic way. And not only that, but they sought to share their faith with other people. And it was a time of great fellowship, prayer, and really wonderful memories. And again, these people really cared about your faith in Christ. And so I suppose with that all in mind, what was it that led me to consider Catholicism, the Catholic Christian faith? Well, I suppose initially the cracks began when I started to consider that if the Christian faith was true, it had to be big enough to encompass all peoples throughout space and time. And as a Protestant Christian, reading my Bible and attending Bible studies in my particular area where I lived, I began to wonder about how Christians experienced the faith around the world, and also prior to the Reformation, what happened before the Reformation. And I began to think that my Protestant experience, as good as it was, appeared to be somewhat limited. And so, by coincidence, or perhaps by divine providence at that time, a friend of mine who was a church historian, was beginning to look at the Eastern Orthodoxy. And because I was quite anti-Catholic at the time, I started seriously considering Orthodoxy. And I'd heard that Francis Schaeffer's son, Frank Schaeffer, had converted to Greek Orthodoxy in the USA. And so it was quite unusual because my friend and I, we would attend all these Orthodox churches, and we'd be the only, for the most part, the only Anglo-Saxons there. So we'd be attending Coptic Orthodox churches, and there'd be all these Egyptians there, and there'd be us at the front, you know. And I'm from, you know, Scottish-English background, my friend was from Scottish background, and so we'd be sitting at the front, probably sticking out like a sore thumb. But at the same time, I suppose, Orthodoxy made sense. It began to make sense to me. I could see that there was a relationship between Scripture and tradition and the Church. And so whereas before I had held to quite strongly to Scripture alone, I began to realize that Scripture itself could not be divorced from the historical Church. And so we attended those particular churches, and again, I began to see the logic of what Eastern Orthodoxy was saying. But I think for me, the same problem with Eastern Orthodoxy arose as it had done with Protestantism, and that was that it was limited, in my view, to particular groups of people in particular times. And so I found them to be very culturally specific in some ways. For example, you could attend an Eastern Orthodox, you could attend a Serbian Orthodox church, or a Greek Orthodox church, or a Coptic Orthodox church. And it didn't seem to me to be quite the universal church, if I could put it that way. And so at the time, I ran into more people. I'm sure God brought these people into my life, but I was at law school, and a friend of mine who was a fellow student there, he was a Catholic, and he decided to share a book with me on the Catholic faith, on a book about a convert to the Catholic faith. And prior to that time, I suppose, my view of Catholicism was reasonably negative. I don't think I believed all Catholics were not Christian, but certainly I think that was the message I got. I believed that Catholicism was a works-based religion. I believed that true Christians understood that they were saved by faith alone and not by works. And I hadn't met many Catholics at that point. I certainly hadn't been evangelized by any Catholics wanting to share Jesus with me. And so I read this book, in a sense, out of interest, because I was sort of semi-convinced about Orthodoxy's position about authority, but at the same time I didn't fully assent to it. And when I read this book, I began to understand what the Church taught about the papacy and how the papacy was a continuation of Christ's mandate to Peter in Matthew 16:18. And little by little, Catholicism started to make sense to me. Even though I was quite anti-Catholic, and I hadn't met many Catholics, I began to see that Catholicism presented a coherent and what turned out to me to be a beautiful and good view of Christianity. Whereas before there had been a great emphasis upon grace, scripture, faith in Jesus Christ, Catholicism presented a picture of Christianity which brought things that I thought opposed together. So for example, grace and nature, what I had been taught, were opposed. Catholicism presented a view in which grace and nature worked with each other. Scripture, church and tradition, faith and works, faith and reason, Jesus Christ and Mary and the saints. And again, although I wasn't convinced straight up, I began to see that there was a logic and coherence in what I was being presented with. And moreover, I was attracted to Catholicism because it was universal in nature. It truly encompassed all peoples, of all places and of all times since the time of Christ. And I thought to myself again, if Christianity is true, then there must be a church that Christ founded which brought in all peoples into the church, if Christianity was really true for all people. And I began to see the wisdom in having a living magisterium that brought connected you with Christians of the past, and at the same time showed you how Christianity was relevant to the present time as well. And so this took me a long time to work through, because maybe it's because of the sort of personality I was, but I had to read the arguments for and against the Catholic faith back and forth. And that was difficult, because at the same time there was this great emotional journey that I was traveling through as well, because I had a lot of good friends in my Protestant church, and many of them have since gone on to become Protestant pastors and ministers, and they're people of great intelligence and a great love of Jesus. And so on the one hand, I was attending my Protestant church, fellowshipping with my Protestant friends, but on the other hand, I was reading all these books in my spare time. And there was a great disconnect between what I was experiencing as a Protestant and what I was reading in the Catholic faith. And so I think eventually, this would have been over many years of dialoguing with various people, I came across a friend of mine from law school, introduced me to a Catholic priest, and I spoke with him. And I started attending a Catholic mass. And I guess slowly and slowly I started making the transition to thinking like a Protestant, from thinking like a Protestant to thinking like a Catholic. And there really came a point, I was introduced to a friend who had been an evangelical like myself, who had converted to Catholicism. And I remember him saying to me, he said, there comes a point where you read enough and you realize that the Catholic faith is true, and you now have to make a decision in accordance with that truth. And so eventually I did that. I did that in around 2002, 2003. And I took steps to enter the church. And so I was fortunate enough at the end of 2004 to be baptized and confirmed by Cardinal Pell at Warrane College. And so when I entered the church, I felt a real peace, a real sense that my journey had come to an end, and I felt connected with the Christians from the past and also with Christians from around the world as well. And I found in Catholicism a true home for all Christians. And the great thing about Catholicism is that it neglects nothing of what is true that God has given us in the world. So anything that is true in the world, the Catholic Church will acknowledge that to be true, but at the same time it will say it can only be perfected in Christ. And that to me has been a great source of comfort, I think, for me. What else can I say? I think as a Catholic, I've become more aware of my imperfections and my sin, but at the same time I've become more aware of of God's great mercy and of God's great love for us, and the fact that whenever we do sin and turn away from God, He is always willing to call us back. In terms of my relationships with my former Protestant friends, some of them I've continued, and some of them have unfortunately faded away, although I've recently made connections with some of my friends who are now Protestant pastors.
I guess I probably have a question about, sure. Talking about the universality of the Church was one of the things that really brought you in. How do you think that, because I mean there's a number of ways that you can view the universality of the Church, whether that's through a kind of uniformity, or I'm reading Pope Francis's Evangelii Gaudium at the moment. Yes. He's talking a lot about this enculturation. Mm-hmm. Where do you see the universality of the Church really expressing itself?
Sure. Look, I suppose I look at it this way, and when I give classes at CAEC, the Catholic Adult Education Centre, I put it this way, that all human beings, by virtue of them being human, are ultimately oriented towards relationship with Christ, all of us. And it doesn't matter where or you know where you come from, what your background is. Every human being is called to know Jesus Christ. And so I think we see the universality of the Church in that the Church itself contains so many people. And you see that when you go to World Youth Day, or when you go to the Vatican, or where what have you. You see all these people from different backgrounds, social, economic, cultural backgrounds, and yet by virtue of them being human beings, they're all united in their relationship with Christ. And I suppose that's where we see the universality of the Church, and that gives us a sense of the fact that Christianity is true, that it really draws upon all people in all places. And I suppose it's funny, when I went, when I was married back in 05 and I went on a honeymoon, I remember going to Mass Mass in Sydney. Then we went to Mass in London, Mass in Paris. We came back to Sydney and went to Mass in Sydney again. And I remember saying to my wife, this is the universal Church. There is no other church where you can do this, where you can experience the same worship of God in so many different places with so many different people. And I think for a convert coming into the faith, there's a real appreciation of the Catholicity of the Church. And I suppose also we can say that the Church is universal, as I said before, in that it doesn't neglect what is true, whether it be from other faiths or from non-faiths. The Church is open to the truth wherever we find it, because ultimately truth is from God. And what is beautiful and what is good is from God. But the Church says we take that and we perfect it in Christ. We perfect everything that is good and true in the world is perfected ultimately in Jesus Christ, who is the new Adam, who redeems mankind, who redeems creation, all towards the glory of God. And so I suppose I would say that.
Well, given that, do you think there's anything that we can learn from Protestants? I mean, you yourself are a former Protestant, so you'd be bringing in your background.
Sure.
What do you think is there on offer?
Sure. Look, I think Catholics certainly, and this is a wonderful thing since the Second Vatican Council, and probably in the past 10 or 20 years, have gained a greater sense of the need to know Scripture. I think that's been quite clear. We've seen wonderful converts, such as Scott Hahn, obviously, who've brought a great love of Scripture with them. And I think Catholics have a hunger for Scripture. They know that the Bible is a Catholic book written by Catholics and to be read within the context of the Catholic Church. So that's a wonderful thing, I think, that we've picked up upon and that we've grown in, I think. The other thing, I think, is the area of evangelization. And what's wonderful about the Pope's recent apostolic exhortation is that there's a wonderful emphasis upon the need to preach the kerygma. And I think for many Catholics, evangelization is such a broad term. It encompasses things such as pro-life work, witness, social efforts to improve social conditions. But it also encompasses that basic preaching of the gospel message, which is that Jesus Christ has died and risen again so that we might be reconciled to God. And that's the essential message of the kerygma. And I know that we've been fortunate enough to have Bishop Porteous, now Archbishop Porteous, who's spoken widely on that particular topic. And Credo, an agency of the Archdiocese of Sydney, have done wonderful work in that area. But I think what the Pope is saying is that for many Catholics, Christianity can seem like simply being a good person, just doing the right thing. And what the Pope is saying, I think, is that Christianity is first and foremost about one's relationship with Christ, which shows itself in the good works that we do. And so we need to balance, I think, what the Pope is saying is we need to balance all the good things we do in pro-life work, in social teaching, all those wonderful things, with an explicit preaching of the kerygma, preaching of Jesus Christ, calling people, both Catholics and non-Catholics and non-Christians, back to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, calling them to a discipleship of Jesus Christ. And I think that's something we can learn from Protestants, that real emphasis upon presenting the person of Jesus Christ to people and asking people to consider, who was he? What did he do for us on the cross? And asking them to consider following him. And I just got a quote here that I've noted down from Pope Francis in his recent exhortation. I think it expresses it so well. He's talking, this is within the context of preaching, but he does say this. He says, when preaching is faithful to the gospel, the centrality of certain truths is evident, and it becomes clear that Christian morality is not a form of stoicism or self-denial or merely a practical philosophy or a catalogue of sins and faults. Before all else, the gospel invites us to respond to the God of love who saves us, to seek God in others, and to go forth from ourselves to seek the good of others. So I think our Holy Father has really, really said something very powerful here. And we as Catholics, we need not be afraid to preach the gospel to others, to realize that, as St. Paul says, it has a real power in and of itself. We don't need to be theologians. We don't need to be apologists. We need to be people who witness to the faith through our words and deeds, and people who are able to articulate our relationship with Jesus Christ to others. And I think once that becomes a part of our culture, we will see true evangelical Catholicism. I think that's the book that George Weibel has written. We will see a true manifestation of evangelical Catholicism, where people are reaching out with the truths of the Catholic faith and inviting people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that will take place over the years, God willing.
Yes, to wrap up, what would be your words to a Protestant who may be considering the Catholic Church or maybe having thoughts about the Catholic Church?
Sure. Firstly, I would say that there is much to be admired amongst our Protestant brothers and sisters, and the Church has acknowledged that, that Protestants have a real fervour for Jesus Christ. They love the Scriptures. They pray with each other, and they're keen to share Christ. But I would say to a Protestant, put aside your views about Catholicism. Read about the Catholic faith from primary Catholic sources, such as the Catechism, obviously. And I would say that from my own experience in Catholicism, you lose nothing of what is good in Protestantism. You lose nothing. I still love Scripture. I still love Jesus Christ. I still pray. I still seek to share the faith with others. But in Catholicism, I think you find the fullness of the Christian faith. And that phrase is often used by people, but you really do. You find Christianity to its fullness in Catholicism. And you also find this wonderful connection with Christians from all times and all places. And you have a certainty in Catholicism that when the Church speaks, it speaks with the voice of Christ. And that there's a real, Christ hasn't left us to be solid Christians. He's given us a Church to protect us against error. And he's given us a Church to inspire us to live the Christian faith in the particular time and place that we live. So I would say, pray about it, have an open heart, pray to God, ask him to show you whether Catholicism is true or not, and read the primary sources. That's what I would say.
That was an interview with Thomas Waugh. And for more interviews, talks, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.